At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome you back on a Friday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Jonathan Von Tobel in for Amal Shaw. Hardwood Handicappers, that's going to go up over at vsin.com.
It's up now.
In just a little bit. Oh, it is up now.
There
okay.
You go.
Make sure you go check it out. I'm thrilled to bring our next guest on because we've been talking for years and years, and it felt like Matt Moore, of course, one of the best doing it, the Action Network NBA writer at HP Basketball. If you remember for years when we spoke, I would always ask you, okay, where is Denver now? Okay. And they got to the postseason, that bubble year. They got to the Western Conference Finals, Matt. And finally, for what? The first time in 50 plus years, we had an NBA Finals game in Denver. You were at the game. Let's first start by setting the scene. What was it like?
It was an amazing atmosphere, as you would expect for a first finals in a city. The city was absolutely amped up for it. Denver is always, the Nuggets have always had to kind of fight for attention in a Broncos town. And for the first time, after a long process of getting this team to this, they've slowly picked up more and more people alongside the bandwagon. And now, like, with a real championship team, the city was going absolutely crazy yesterday. The arena was really intense. Ken Jeong was there from Community and the Hangover fame. That was a lone celebrity that was in town for the finals. But it was a really great scene. Awesome atmosphere. Should be a fun series to watch, even if pretty much everyone most people are agreed on kind of what the outcome is going to be, which was kind of reflected in game one.
Hey, Matt, you're awesome when it comes to breaking down players and their intricacies as players in terms of their game. How would you rate Kim Jong's half court shot? I did not think it was great.
Yeah, no, I think he needs to get in the gym. He needs to get in the lab and work on it, you know? Got to get those reps up. I mean, that's really the secret to everything, right? It's just getting reps up. But we'll say Rocky kind of caught him at the very last second. Got to let a guy warm up on some of those shots if it's not a guy that's taking them all the time.
What I liked about what you wrote today over at Action, you said essentially, look, the Heat can play better. So we'll put the Heat over here and we'll talk about them in a bit. But you said, so can Denver. So let's start there. What can Denver do better on Sunday in game two?
Yeah, you know, their offensive execution honestly wasn't as clean as it could have been. They were punishing simple stuff underneath with Aaron Gordon. Like, that makes up for a lot. When you're just bigger, and they are, the Heat are just whittle-bittle. Like, they are so small compared to Denver that you're able to get a lot of easy stuff on the inside. Like, Joker never looked stressed. Joker never looked exhausted. Joker never really looked pressed for anything. This was honestly, having covered Denver as long as I have, like, my honest assessment is that this was a B game for them. They were fine. Hmm. Like, they were pretty good. Wasn't great. They weren't terrible or, you know, below average. It was just like pretty good game. And that shows how much more they have to go. You got Michael Porter Jr. missing shots. The Heat will obviously point to Max Strus, you know, missing absolutely everything. Denver, you know, Jamal Murray was really good in this game. He also didn't hit threes. Like, there was a lot that they left on the bone. And in the fourth quarter, when the Heat kind of threw a bunch of wrenches at them, a few hit them early, but then when they kind of settled down, they were able to get kind of past it and adjust it. Every time that Miami made a run, Denver just kind of answered back, because one of the problems is Denver is not just more talented and bigger and led by the best player in the league. They're also extremely smart. They know how to respond to different actions and different tactics that you're going to use against them. They are prepared for what you're going to throw at them, and it may take them a possession or two, but they'll figure out how to generate good offense.
Matt, one of the things that I was bringing up with Patrick was, you know, to that point about the size, I was kind of surprised that Eric Spoelstra was willing to go with the smaller guys for as long as he did. And I know you don't have that many options, but they went to Haywood Highsmith eventually. Do we see Kevin Love at some point? What is Spoelstra's adjustment to the size mismatch that's going to be there throughout this entire series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be on Haywood Highsmith. I think overs, I think they're going to look to try to include him. Part of the problem here is, you can't solve a problem if you just do not have, if some numbers aren't available to you. Like, if you just don't have bigs, you can't be like, well, we need to get bigger. And look, they tried Cody Zeller. That was a disaster. Like, Zeller was supposed to be like, all right, let's go to this big guy. That's our other, like, our true center. And Zeller just absolutely got thumped. So that's off the table. They might go back to it in game two and hope he plays better for a game. But if it doesn't work, then he's probably out of the rotation. I do think we'll see Kevin Love. I think we'll probably see him to try and add some size on the interior. It's not like Kevin Love's going to add shot blocking. He'll help with the rebounding. But even then, like, Love's a really good rebounder. MPJ's younger and bigger. So I don't know how they're going to be able to really, like, what's that going to help with? That's another area where Denver probably left some points on the table. They didn't crash the glass probably as much as they could. The Heat, I thought, were great on the offensive glass, and we're really putting a lot of pressure to try and, like, control the boards, and it didn't really help them much. So I think that the Heat will probably have to go smaller as the series goes on to try and generate offense, because this is the other problem. That's the only way they're going to be able to hang in the series. The floor for the Nuggets is so high offensively, and Miami is so far below them. They may have to go small just to keep pace with Denver.
Matt Moore joins us here, Sharp Money. Jonathan Von Tobel on Patrick Maher. He's in Denver where he lives, of course. He's covered the Nuggets for a long time. Game one NBA Finals, 104-93. The total's been adjusted. 219.5, Matt Moore, down to right around 214. Thoughts on the pacing and what you expect scoring-wise in game two on Sunday?
Typically, when the market reacts like this, I want to look for an under, because, like, they've been pretty sharp with how these series are going to go, how these games are going to go. When they make these kind of adjustments right off the bat without the market telling them to, I tend to want to go that way. This is an exception. I'm going with the over in game two. I've already bet it. Look, 91 possessions for both teams. That is glacial. Like, that is ice age stuff. It is barbaric in terms of how slow that was. The Heat had a 98th percentile turnover rate. That means that they were extremely low. They only turned it over about 8% of their possessions via cleaning the glass. The Nuggets were at 78th percentile at 11%. There's going to be more sloppy turnovers. There just will be. The Heat are playing passing lanes. They'll get a little bit more used to some of the mechanisms that Denver uses, anticipate a few more. Denver will probably poke a few more loose as well. They're going to bring a lot more help. I think free throws are going to increase substantially in this game. Everyone's going to talk about the two that the Heat created as being an all-time low. That wasn't officiating. That was, like, bad game plan and approach by the Miami Heat. They know they've got to attack the rim more. Jimmy Butler talked about it last night in the presser. I was in the room for it, or he was like, we've got to get layups, we've got to get free throws. Like, they know what they're up against. I think they're going to have to run more. I think they're going to have to push pace, try and get Denver up and down the court, and they're going to have to be attacking a lot more at the rim. I think they will draw more free throws. I'll play the over here versus the adjusted line.
Yeah, you kind of answered what I was going to ask you, which was, do you expect Miami to get out there more? Because, like, I think according to Clean the Glass off live rebounds, it was just under 9% or somewhere around there. That's insanely slow. And I get they're not the fastest team ever, but I brought up the example, Matt, of Phoenix. You know, Phoenix in that series against Denver, all of a sudden they were like, let's run as fast as we can almost every single possession. That's a simple adjustment. If, like, we're ripping and running, I would assume that we're going to see more of that from Miami in game two.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. It's the biggest thing. I think a lot of this here is that the Heat, you always go into game one and you're like, let's see if we can win the way that we play. And it took about 45 seconds to realize, nope, cannot do that. Not going to be able to win with the way that we play. So they're going to have to adjust to that. And the easiest way is like to get out and attack more in transition. Denver in the playoffs has been a really good transition team. They've addressed their weaknesses really well in the playoffs. That's why they're here. That's why they've only lost three games. But it's still a structural weakness. If you get out in transition, that's the weakest part of their defense. They struggle with that. They're a bottom five transition defense team all year. That's where you can really do damage against them. The Miami will have to try and get out and do that, especially, I think, by trying to drive to the rim and kicking to create threes. I'm not sure that they're going to try and create fouls and attack the rim as much in transition. I actually think that they'll probably get shooters involved in those spots. If Denver's able to get back and manage that, that's a huge edge towards Denver. It's another area where they can control this game and win it. But that'll probably be Miami's strategy in game two, which is another reason I like the over.
I'm sure you've heard the Heat are a mature team with great culture. I say that to ask you this. The adjusted sweep price is 3.5 to 1. Is that a fair price?
I think so. A lot of this is just like, look, you can be the have all this pride and all of these things and you know be so committed to your process, but I'm just, how are you going to get it past this team? This is not the Celtics. The Nuggets don't fall apart like this. If you want proof of that, look at last night. They get it to 9, Denver answers back. They get it to 10, the Denver Nuggets answer back. Like, they didn't fall apart. Even when things got tough, you're going to go through stretches in the game where you don't play well, where you turn the ball over on the first possession of the quarter underneath the basket. You're going to have possessions where the zone messes you up for a little bit, but Denver settles down and they get through those possessions. So trying to find how the Heat are going to be able to, the margin is the problem here, is that you can have Max Strus shoot way better in game one. And okay, he hits 3 more threes. The Nuggets still have a 2-point advantage if Michael Porter Jr. doesn't get any better. There's so many areas where it's like, he can do this, but the Nuggets can get better and go even higher. So it's not that I think this is going to be a sweep. I have bet the -1.5. I laid the money on that before the series because I do respect Miami and how well they play. The +2.5 on the series spread line for Miami was like, immediately I felt an urge within me to bet it and had to stop myself. I think this is a short series still. Miami can definitely pull something and get this to 6 games. It wouldn't surprise me, but they are up against it from a matchup, a talent, and a size perspective. And that's before we get into how big an advantage it is just having the best player in the series by far.
Okay. Well, listen, I hope Denver's enjoying it. It sounds like the city is rallying around this team. They've been there for a long time. I don't know if it's just an overlooked city, but this is a pretty special team, a very special offense with a great player. I hope you enjoy it. We'll talk to you throughout the Action Network, of course. Matt Miller of Must Follow on Twitter at HP Basketball. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. A great writer for a very long time that's covered basketball. I know you know him well. And again, I didn't know how to explain it yesterday when we opened the show, but it's like, I don't know. It's the Nuggets. You don't really think of them, and they've been overlooked, and it's a plotting big that people overlook in Jokic, but it's a special offense. I mean, you went through it yesterday. The numbers, they equate to what we saw with Golden State with KD and Steph.
Yep, they're freaking awesome, and the best part is they're going to be around for a while, so get used to it, people.
Yeah, and I don't know if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be together for a while. We shall discuss coming up in just a bit. We'll reheat it up. Okay, but when we return, Big Guy was fishing for Fred Bear. He was fishing for some big dogs in Major League Baseball today. We're going to come back and discuss. It is Sharp Money.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Interesting date night scenario coming up. When Dustin goes on a date, he likes to split the check. You can check out the betting splits over at VSiN.com. Yikes. It's Friday. It's a long week. Money and bets for every game, updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings, today's games and future events as well. It's VSiN's betting splits. You're good. Essentially, trust me, I have them right here in front of me. You'll always have that tab open once you start. So make sure you check it out. VSiN.com. We just learned during break as we welcome you back. Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson, Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to get some dogs for you to bet. As a matter of fact, I've got Halterman and Samich. You've got dogs coming up here in Major League Baseball. Dustin was droning on and on and on our call this morning that he likes, I don't know, 12 to 18 dogs today. So we'll get to those in
you're,
just a bit.
By the way, the number's not far off.
Yeah.
No, you do. You like a bunch of dogs. So we'll get to those. And, of course, Halterman, Ollie bets his dogs. And I see Samich, who's joining us in 44 minutes here on the program, has dogs as well. Kind of shocking. You don't hear this very often, but randomly, Jonathan mentioned he's going to dinner tonight at an awesome restaurant. You guys can discuss if you want to say where. And then literally you said, I'm going tonight to that restaurant as well. And your reservations are a half hour apart. That was random how that just happened.
Just happens like that. Yeah. I got to take the old lady out every once in a while, have some fun. So can't wait.
I'm being taken out by another man.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, he's going out with his wife. Will you be taking maybe Mary to the restaurant tonight?
Maybe Mary and I, some interesting developments, but we will not be going anywhere together anytime soon.
Hold on. So if you guys didn't know, and we only spent a couple of minutes on it, we'll do 2 minutes and we'll move on. But yesterday when I asked you about that scenario where a guy goes on a date for like four or five times, but he has to break up with a girl. Do you have to call her? Do you have to meet her in person? Or do you just text her? And Jonathan, remember you said, I think you should meet in person.
That's right.
And I said, you send a text with the option for a potential phone call if she's upset. Well, that was Dustin, and it was maybe Mary. He wasn't into it. Sent her a text, and she called. And I'm sure that was comfortable.
I definitely didn't answer the first time. I was like, I got to give myself like a couple. Work myself up for this conversation because I don't like being the bad guy.
Well, let me ask really quickly. So what was like the order of affairs? Was it text an immediate call so she knew you weren't answering? Or was it like text five, 10 minutes?
On the phone with Patrick saying, I need to text this girl this message I've come up with in my notes app on my phone and finally break it off. While Patrick and I are talking, I get a text from her letting me know she had allergic reaction to the Thai food we had the night before. So I'm like, great, let me give that time to breathe here.
Quick, by the way, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I react to that and I'm like, oh no, sorry to hear that. Obviously, when someone just words it like that, they don't really care. I really didn't did not care about her allergic reaction. She was not going to die from it. She wasn't going to die from it. It's not a deathly thing. So then I gave it a little bit. Then I wrote, well, this might be bad timing, but ... Sent my long text message of where I was at, kind of explained things because I felt like things needed to kind of be explained, hoping that I would say enough in the message that it wouldn't need a phone call. But I did end the note with, look, if you want to talk about this, feel free to call me. I totally understand, though, if you don't want to talk to me ever again. Well, she called. I really didn't want her to call.
But hold on. How quickly after the message did she call, though?
About an hour.
Oh, okay. So, like, it was conceivable then that you weren't around your phone. That's what I was asking. Like, if you hit send, and then within 2 minutes she called, and she knows you're on the other end watching it ring.
Went to a bar last night just so I could have the excuse of, sorry, I'm not home right now, and I don't know when I will be.
Dustin texted me. It was the most uncomfortable conversation of his life. And I said, well, she had an allergic reaction to the food from the night before. Her immune system is broken, and now you're breaking her heart. Anyway. We move on and get to the betting. That's what we do here.
It's good for her.
Just quickly. For
her. She's going to end up way better in this situation.
Yeah, when she's married with a bunch of kids, she'll remember.
Yeah. The moral of the story is you did the right thing. You weren't necessarily 100% in. She was in love with you. You had to move on. You did it in a sophisticated, gentlemanly way, and she'll win in the end.
And I know I made the right call because I cannot wait to spend this weekend with my PlayStation.
That's right. And she'll probably name one of her future kids Dustin. And that'll be how it goes.
Hey, by the way, you can do both. JBT is married with two beautiful kids. He still spends time with his gaming console. It's not.
I mean,
it's possible
not as
to
much time
both.
I was like, but yeah, I do spend.
But
time.
Like, you're under the same roof. She would just cramp my style of me wanting to play. Any woman would. Like,
well, here's my trick.
No need to pile on Mary at this point. Right. Poor thing. She's got an allergic reaction, and now she's
and spent the night trying to convince me that I don't know what I'm doing.
Real quick, my trick. I will say that's funny. My trick is that I have gotten my family involved in the gaming, so like they like it too. Like the kid likes to play Mario and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, kids love Mario.
My wife likes Mario and some of the other games. You know what I mean? So that's the trick. It's not viewed as a terrible thing if everybody does it. So that's how I get it.
The only game Dustin played with Mary is he pretended for 4 dates to like her. Anyway, let's get to it. So the board is a Cincy. Okay, so 2 bets from Halterman, who's been red hot. He likes the Reds. This game, first pitch, is now under an hour, so just 50 minutes away.
Can I point something out real quick?
Oh, yeah, please.
We didn't bring – it got lost kind of yesterday because we had so much going on with game 1 of the NBA Finals. Aaron Halter – never mind. It wasn't yesterday. It was 2 days ago. He had 3 more dogs that he hit on.
I know, it's insane. Like, the run that he's been on, we try to do things without hyperbole, but this is insane. All he does is pick dogs, and I don't know, he's like 25-9 over his last 34. It's an insane run. He's going to fade Burns. I know you're a big Milwaukee guy. I like the spot for Williamson at home in Cincinnati, and plus it's a big price. He's catching $1.45. He had $1.50 this morning.
I'm not on this. I don't have a good vibe for Corbin Burns right now. He's kind of become my Iowa football. Whenever I bet on Iowa football to be good, they stink. Whenever I bet on them to be bad, they're good. Whenever I think they're an under team, it goes over. Like, it's just, I'm a train wreck. That's kind of where I'm at with Burns. When I get a good price on him, and he ends up blowing it up. He's just not the same guy that he's been over the last couple seasons. So I don't hate going against him here, especially with a Cincinnati offense that is kind of underrated.
Okay, the next one, he likes Cleveland catching a price at Minnesota. So those are the two. I have to make sure. I get emails all the time. What's Halterman on tonight? Because he's been so hot in baseball. So those are the two. He's been hot in hockey as well. But the Reds catching a price and the Guardians catching a price as well. Okay, big guy. So you went on and on with the dogs. Why don't you start it?
So I'm on 2 favorites. We'll just get them out of the way quick because it's not a big deal. But I'm on the Twins. I'm actually going against Halterman there. I really like Bailey Ober. And then on the Rays, lay $1.36 on Glasnow over Whitlock against the Red Sox. Glasnow's a much better pitcher. But looking at the board, it's not often you get days like these when you're a baseball bettor. And with baseball betting so many teams, you know, on the money line here, you really can get that ROI, and it's so hard to find dogs you love. So a day like today where I'm looking at the board, and I bet 6 dogs, and I could have bet 2 more, but I held myself off from doing it. I think there are so many interesting opportunities here. The first one I'll start with, Colorado plus $1.02 at Kansas City. 2 bad teams, but Chase Anderson has been very good for them. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Lyles is the worst starting pitcher in all of baseball. Anderson coming off Three straight starts, five innings pitched, two earned runs or less. That is almost impossible for a Rockies pitcher to do if you have any starts at home. And I kind of like this Rockies offense. I think they're the better team, and they're the dog.
Okay. I bet it earlier today without knowing you had done the same, so we're one for one. Next.
The next one is I'm betting against the Mets. The Blue Jays and these AL East teams, they feast on other divisions.
Wait, we got a laugh from JVT fading the Mets here.
No, I laugh because I know your relationship with your Mets team, so I was just laughing.
Yeah, this is what he does. It's passive.
No, it's not passive. So Verlander's on the hill, and the Mets are on a streak, right? The Mets look good, but they just beat the Phillies. The Phillies are awful. We'll get into them in a second. I like having Chris Bassitt, who's been awesome this year, in a revenge spot to go against his former team that didn't offer him a contract to come back for this season. I like that angle. And if Toronto's able to get a few runs off of Verlander, which he has been susceptible this season, he hasn't been incredible in his few starts, I think Bassitt has a chance to shut down the Mets offense. The Mets offense still isn't what it needs to be. The young kids are helping, but not enough. So I'm going to back plus 116 on Chris Bassitt, who's having a very good season.
I don't hate it. JoJo Gray, Josiah Gray, you and I are both on this, so let's discuss it. The Nats, he's completely undervalued in this spot. They're catching 164. I understand it's Wheeler and the Phillies, but you just said it. The Phillies are consistently overvalued, and frankly, so is Wheeler this year. And Josiah Gray is one of those players where he has arrived, and the market hasn't caught up. It's plus 160. I'm showing 164 at a book as well. I like the Nats catching a big price here. Big guy, I know you're with me.
Yeah, I got $1.60, and here's the thing, is it's brand recognition. With the Phillies, you think you're paying for a team that went to the World Series a year ago. Right. This is not that team. It's not just that Zach Wheeler's been down and Nola's been down. The offense isn't good either. They got swept by the Mets, who, as I just mentioned, don't have a great offense. Philly scored 9 runs over their last 5 games. This is an offense that's supposed to be powerful, to have a ton of home run bats, that has MVP candidates all over the place. Meanwhile, Washington has scored 28 runs over their last 6. Washington has the pitching edge, and they have the offensive edge. For whatever reason, the market doesn't indicate that.
Are either of you going to the Stanley Cup Final Game 1 tomorrow at T-Mobile?
No. Watch party, but not the actual thing.
If someone pays for my ticket.
How crazy are the secondary prices right now? Do you know?
I haven't looked.
Either? Big guy, you're shaking your head. Yes, come back with that. I think it's crazy right now. It's a hot ticket in Vegas. We'll discuss the Stanley Cup Final with Ian Cameron next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonuses instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. It's very simple. Just go download the DraftKings app and use that code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Jonathan Von Tobel, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. It's Sharp Money on a Friday here on VSIN, the sports betting network. Hope you're having a nice week. We're going to bring in our buddy Ian Cameron, the very popular Twitter handle at Bobano, the Ice Guys NHL handicapper. And as we say hi to Ian, nice to talk to you again. I was listening to an interview this morning with a former assistant with the Maple Leafs, who's now the coach of the Caps, the Washington Capitals. I believe his name is Carberry. He's the new head coach.
Spencer Carberry, that's correct.
Yep, exactly right. Yep. They asked him, who do you like in the series with VGK in Florida? Now, Florida's plus 105, so a slight dog in the series. And he said, to be honest with you, after we got beat by Florida, that being the Maple Leafs, he was so frustrated because he felt like the Leafs should have beaten this Florida team. But then he said he watched what Florida did to Carolina, and the pieces all just kind of fit together perfectly. So he picked Florida in the series. Who do you like in the series?
Yeah, I mean, good to be with you. I mean, I'm looking forward to this final, even though I know in this country, north of the border, there's a lot of tuning out and disdain towards this Stanley Cup final because there's no Canadian team involvement in it. But look, these are two teams that have deserved to be here. If you look at the Florida Panthers, you almost have to put it in the back of your mind that this team was just the epitome of mediocrity for the entirety of the regular season, because we have clearly seen during this playoff run, they're a different team. You know, they found it late in the season. I think you could really point to the game against the Leafs late in the regular season when Paul Maurice just absolutely lost it. behind the bench and started reaming out his hockey team for playing badly. They were on their way to losing that game. Sure enough, after that tirade by their head coach, they come back, they win that game. They get red hot down the stretch of the regular season. Pittsburgh loses a late regular season game, allows them to get into the playoffs, and then they knock off, you know, one of the teams that's had one of the most historic regular seasons in history, and the Bruins, a very good Toronto team, and then a Carolina team that's been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference for the last several years. So nothing Florida's done is fluky. Okay, they belonged here. But I do think this matchup is going to pose something different toward this Florida Panthers team. Vegas is the biggest team they played. No question about that in terms of size down the middle, in terms of the size of their blue liners like Petrangelo, Martinez, Theodore, Nick Hague, Zach Whitecloud. These are big guys. And I think they've got the potential to lean on this Florida team physically. And it'll throw a lot more at them in that department than maybe Carolina or Toronto did. I think you could say Boston can play a pretty physical game, and Florida obviously beat them. I don't know if Toronto or Carolina match up in that department as much as Vegas does. Vegas, 1 through 4, their lines are interchangeable. I think 1 through 6, their blue line is deep. And there is enough concern for me that the 10 days off from wrapping up that series against Carolina really does slow down this Panthers magic carpet ride run, if you will. So I actually like Vegas in this series. Competitive series, but I think the Golden Knights will take it.
So with that, Ian, -125, is that a fair price to lay for the series for the Vegas Golden Knights? Or are you attacking that series from another way, maybe a derivative market like -1.5 games or exact series results?
Yeah, one of the things I did in the after Vegas beat Edmonton, because Edmonton's actually a team I had futures on to win the West and the Stanley Cup, and I did think they were going to beat Vegas. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I said, at that moment, I think I'm going to jump in on Vegas to win the Stanley Cup right then and there. So I'm already locked in with a position on them to win the Stanley Cup, which I took, obviously, not the price you could have gotten on Vegas earlier in the year. But I thought after they beat Vegas, they can beat anybody. Or after they beat Edmonton, rather, they could beat anybody. And Vegas, you know, gets through Dallas. Their goaltending situation's not a concern to me. You know, Adin Hill was shown to be good enough, and he's actually played quite well. And they have an absolutely terrific depth-laden blue line on defense to insulate their goaltender and help him out. As far as the series price goes, your question here, I think if you like Vegas, bet it now, because I really do think they have a strong chance to win Game 1. I think Game 1 is going to be a little bit tough on Florida, considering the time they've had off. And I think if you like Florida in this series, you're going to probably want to maybe wait, see if they lose Game 1, which I think is what's going to happen. And then you'll be able to get Florida at a better adjusted series price going into Game 2. The one thing you can say about this Panthers team is we've seen them get stronger as series have gone on in the first 3 rounds, and you're getting that better price with them if you like the Florida side. I have that feeling you might be able to get that better series price after Game 1.
Ian Cameron here on Sharp Money, the Ice Guys NHL handicapper, does a great job at Bobano on Twitter. You know, I didn't even think about it as we said hi to you. I didn't think about VGK. What are they in, year 5 or 6? Their second trip to the Stanley Cup final. Florida, kind of a nondescript team. You had Canadian teams in the Leafs and Edmonton with real chances. What is the vibe up in Canada? When you mentioned that, I hadn't thought of it. My assumption is both VGK and Florida are full of Canadian players, but I hadn't thought these are two pretty basic American teams for you to cheer for up in Canada.
Yeah, and that's the thing that frustrates me about the sentiment, you know, that, well, there's no Canadian teams, and we've lost our interest, and we've lost our, you know, our juice, if you will, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, if you're any kind of hockey fan, you'd never say that. You know, you're looking for good teams, you're looking for good hockey, and you're looking for good stories. I think these are good stories, both sides. You know, Vegas has been in the league for 6 years. The franchise has had an incredible success story. The support locally, and I'm sure you guys can speak to that, has been off the charts with how that team's been supported from day one. They've made the conference finals 4 times in 6 years, the Stanley Cup final now 2 times in 6 years. That's a great success story for a team that just started operation 6 years ago. And then on the Florida Panthers side of the equation, this is their first Stanley Cup final in 27 years. They've had a lot of years of lean years and struggles, and they have Matthew Tkachuk turning into a superstar right before our very eyes, the resurgence of a goalie that we thought maybe his best days were behind him after he won the Vezina several years ago, and Sergei Bobrovsky, who is clearly playing some of the best hockey in many years. there's great stories here, and if you're a hockey fan, you're into it. So this nonsense here in this country and this rhetoric and these sad sallies around here that are just so depressed and moping around about who's in the Stanley Cup final, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. I think I'm into it, and if you're a hockey fan, I think anyone should be.
All right, Ian, so we're talking about you liking Vegas in this series. We know where you stand. So then where would that go with the Conn Smythe? Because what's the stat? They have 16 guys, at least one goal. Like, where in the world are you pointing to for a guy for Vegas to win this award? It seems like there's so many candidates.
There are so many. Look, JVT, with the Conn Smythe trophy, I think if you're going to bet someone for Florida, you can only go with Bobrovsky and Tkachuk right now. Because it seems like they're having like a tennis match. They're, you know, exchanging serves back and forth now. Who's going to win this thing? I mean, we see Bobrovsky get a shutout in the last series. We think maybe he's got the inside track for the Conn Smythe. And then we see Tkachuk have the game-winning, series-winning goal the next game. Maybe he's got the inside track. But it'll probably be one of those two guys for Florida. For Vegas, you could go in a bunch of different directions. Jack Eichel's got a great chance to win it. The player that I think's got value right now in the Conn Smythe market for Vegas is Jonathan Marchessault. You know, you get a better price with him. He's got 13 points in the last 8 playoff games for the Vegas Golden Knights, 5 goals in the last 4 games on a goal streak. That's an incredible point streak in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's tough to score, you know, when you get this deep into the playoffs. And for Marchessault to have 13 points in his last 8 playoff games, why not him? And he's playing against a team that left him unprotected in the expansion draft. The reason Vegas got Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith as well, for that matter, Florida didn't want them. Florida left them exposed in the expansion draft, allowing Vegas to draft them. And they're original Golden Knights. They were in the Misfits season, the very first year with the franchise. So Marchessault, don't be surprised if he has a very good series. And certainly from a chip-on-your-shoulder perspective, I would expect Riley Smith to have that same kind of feeling. This team gave up on me, Florida. Man, would I like to beat them to win a Stanley Cup.
Ian, just 1 minute left, but would love to get your take. First period, goal and a half, and then full game, 5.5 on the total.
Yeah, I think game one is going to be a little bit sloppy, especially Florida. If you worry the 10 days off, there's going to be some mistakes with the puck, and there could be some breakdowns in defensive zone coverage, which they have not had many. And when they have, Bobrovsky's cleaned up the mess. But, you know, for an older goalie that's had this amount of days off, I worry about whether he's going to be able to bring his A game as well. So I think you are going to see goals early. I like the first period over 1.5. And I like the full game over 5.5 as well. I think the series will tighten up defensively as it goes on. Game one, we'll see some goals on Saturday night.
Awesome. Ian, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. The Ice Guys NHL handicapper. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, especially at Bobano. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, have a great week.
You too, buddy. Thank you very much.
Good time for the phone.
Love talking Twitter. That's for you, JVT. Hey, Jonathan, if the Nuggets, so there are 11 teams, don't laugh, there are 11 teams in the NBA that have yet to win a championship. If the Nuggets win their first, there will be 10. When we come back next year, who has the best chance of the 10 remaining to win their first championship? We'll discuss. Have a little fun on a Friday. This Sharp Money, the big guy, single and ready to mingle, ladies. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, let's say I pay $9.99 right now, VSiN.com/subscribe, and I don't have time today to do any handicapping, but I just want to follow the hot handicappers. Dustin, who would I follow?
Oh, well, you've got Wes Reynolds, who's up a huge chunk of change. Our own Aaron Halterman, who submits his picks here to Sharp Money and appears on the show. 10-6 over his last 7 days, but plus $750 on $100 bets. Kelly Bidlin must have had a great golf tournament. He is up a ton. Zach Cohen hitting a ton of props. Many other names, including Matt Newman's, Danny Burke's, Dave Tooley, and many more.
Okay, make sure you sign up right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back here, Sharp Money. We've got Samich coming up in just about 12, 13 minutes on a Friday. Got plenty to do with him. He's got a ton of plays. Jonathan Von Tobel, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. A couple of things, because we're going to get to that conversation about teams in the NBA who haven't won a championship. Did you guys see the report about Russell Wilson and the Eagles? Sometimes better that you don't get what you ask for. Because obviously we know what's happened with Jalen Hurts, who just got G'd up, and rightfully so. But the Eagles, apparently, it almost didn't happen with Jalen Hurts leading to the Eagles to the Super Bowl because he wasn't almost their starting quarterback. There was a deal in place. Russell Wilson was going to be an Eagle, but apparently he turned down the trade. So I don't know. This was the first I had heard of it today. If you two had been privy to this information, but potentially looked like the Eagles were trying to land from Seattle at the time, Russell Wilson, which I had no clue.
Makes sense. You know, needed a quarterback at the time, I suppose, but all things work out. And I do think that former UNLV quarterback and offense coordinator at the time, Shane Steichen, would have done a very good job with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I would say there's nothing for me to think that Nick Sirianni couldn't have gotten Russell Wilson back to his old form.
Yeah.
There was something else I wanted to run by you guys. We'll get to it in just a bit. Let's go back to the list, though. So the Nuggets potentially could win the first championship in franchise history. They've been there 50-plus years. Remember the old ABA days? Doug Moe is a name that comes to mind. Dan Issel, when you think about the Nuggets back in the day. But if the Nuggets win their first title, who has the best chance to be next? Okay, so here are the teams that haven't won a championship. I didn't realize there were 10 franchises in the association who haven't won. The Suns have been in Phoenix forever. It's a great basketball town. They haven't won a championship. They're 8.5-1 next year. The Clippers, your Clippers, oh, yeah. Jonathan, 15-1. The Grizzlies, what the hell was that with the commissioner, by the way, before the game?
Yeah, and just to interrupt for a second, the Grizzlies are 19-1 next year to win a championship. So if you missed it yesterday before the game, and this was concerted, like the commissioner, all Silver had to do was go on TV and say no comment on Ja Morant. But it's almost like reality TV where he wanted to stir up a conversation because he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, if you guys heard it differently, he said, we have crazy dirt on Ja Morant, but we're not going to tell you about it until after the NBA finals because we don't want to take away from the Nuggets and Heat. Like, all he had to say is no comment. Like, he wanted to get people talking about Ja Morant and whatever the hell has transpired. You guys agree with that, correct?
My vibe kind of was, I think that Ja Morant might still be up to some nonsense, and he was letting Ja know, Ja, we know what's going on. Stop for your own good.
Yeah, I agree. Patrick, I'm a very big fan of your teases. I think Adam Silver's tease was much better, like looking ahead to what we're going to see from Ja Morant. I was amazed by that. Like you said, this is a commissioner just being like, stay tuned after the finals because we're going to suspend our best player for maybe half the season. Find out June 22nd. Like I was amazed by by the way they handled
live
it.
Live ruling I agree on with Instagram
you.
Live.
I know, but I agree with you, Jonathan, what you're saying because – the reason it shocked me is he gives me very much hippie granola vibes, like a player's commissioner, you know, yeah. It handled obviously what happened with the Clippers when he first became commissioner very, very well. But he seems like a hippie. That was no hippie move. Like that was salaciousness. That was reality TV. That was standby. And it almost made me start to feel a little bit badly for Ja. Like Ja's got to lay in the bed that he made, whatever the cliche is. Ja's got to deal with the ramifications, but it does feel like he's being hung out by the association a little bit here. It'll be fascinating. It's a good tease, to your point. It's a good tease because now I can't wait to hear what the hell Ja did.
I can't wait till it's only five games. Like he's going to come out and be like, actually, we found great information that it was a fake gun and it was actually an airsoft pistol and we're only going to suspend him five games.
I mean, what more could it be? Right? Like, we understand the guy likes to go to the club. We understand he likes to wave around a gat. Anyway, the Grizzlies 19-1. That's just a team in turmoil right now. I think we'll get your answer in a bit. I think I'd stay away from that number. The Pelicans, 30-1. These are teams that haven't won a championship yet. The Timberwolves are in a weird spot. They're 50-1. The Nets, they knocked down the door for a long time back in the day, but they're 90-1. The Jazz are 150-1. The Jazz started off great last year and could have be headed in a positive direction. The Pacers, think about that. The Pacers shot the Rick Smiths, 150-1. The Magic, been there forever, 150-1. And the Hornets, 400-1. Those are the franchises in the association that haven't won a championship. It's easy to start with the Suns and Clippers. Would you go any deeper than those two?
I know we're just joking about it. I do think that the Grizzlies have a very realistic shot at winning a championship next year. I mean, we'll put it this way too. A suspension for Ja Morant would obviously, hopefully, teach him a lesson. Ja Morant is also a guy who misses a ton of time due to injury. So less time on the floor, get his body fresh, and actually have him maybe last a little bit, play a good chunk of the regular season, and be ready for a postseason where he's not all banged up, might actually work out for them. And the other thing here, Patrick, is it is a team that has a lot of assets to trade. And there is a name that's been floated out there that's been connected to them. If they go and get like OG Anunoby from Toronto, that all of a sudden you're looking around, you're like, that's probably the best defensive team in the NBA. That's a team with high upside offensively. And we don't know how the Western Conference looks. Could be Denver at the top. It should be because they're going to pretty much bring back everybody. We'll see what the Suns do in terms of adding to their depth. And then after that, you tell me who you solidly feel is the best third team in the Western Conference. Could be this Memphis Grizzlies team, especially if they acquire the right piece during the offseason.
I don't think it's a terrible idea to look right below them. Because so much could go right if your boy returns,
yep.
And that being the Pelicans at 30-1.
I mean, I don't disagree. The on-court numbers with Zion Williamson and that core that they have are brilliant. It's the question that you have all the time with Zion and some of these other guys. Are they going to stay healthy? Is he going to be available? Like, that's all you're really banking on. Because remember, at one point, I think we were 20 games in last season. They were the one seed 20 games into the Western Conference. And so, like, that's a team that's got a ton of talent. But when you see what happens with Zion, and then after the season, I don't know if you guys saw those comments where they're asking him, like, hey, like, you know, when do you feel like you're going to be healthy? And he's like, actually, I'm healthy. I just want to feel like Zion again. Like, that's... You don't really
that was
love,
wild.
Right. It was kind of weird. And so you just,
and he looks like me.
He's gotten a little thinner, but yeah, it's not a great mix in terms of what you've seen there. If you tell me he's fully healthy, 100%, I mean, I'm betting Pelicans 31 right now. I can't bank on it.
I think the interesting part about Zion, and good job, I remember that quote now. New Orleans is by far the smallest market in the NBA. I think even a talent like him and somebody that's so mercurial as far as do we see him, do we not see him, is he playing? It's kind of nebulous as to why he's never playing. I think it gets away with it because he's in New Orleans. Like, if he was a Knick, you think this would fly?
Yeah. I mean, what have the Knicks done to deserve any sort of respect?
Well, no, I think he would push through it and play if he was a Knick.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I think it would just the pressure. I think you're in New Orleans, well, which, by the way, is just a tiny town.
Well, I also think what you're alluding to, I think you guys are alluding to two different things. Like, I don't think he would succumb to the pressure. I think he would do it because he wants to play there, right? Yes. Like, that's the thing. Like, he'd be willing to sacrifice his body a little bit.
I think it's a confluence.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a confluence where it all just adds up to not just the pressure, but wanting to be on that stage. It's New Orleans. It's a remarkably small town. So I'll go Pelicans, JBT, Grizzlies. You want to take a stab there, big guy?
Because I think a bunch of these teams are far away. I don't believe the Clippers are going to get there. The Suns, I don't think that they're going to figure out despite being loaded and the shortest of these options. I think pieces from New Orleans are going to leave. The Timberwolves are playing 1997 basketball, which is why I will go with a guy who has built a winner on one side of the country, is now moved to another. We'll go the Jazz as the next possible one. Maybe not next year, but they will be the next one on this list to win their first.
Who built a winner?
Huh?
Who built a winner on the East Coast?
Not a champion, Danny Ainge, but he built a winning team.
I'm sorry, I get confused. I thought the Boston Celtics were abject failures who've never achieved anything, so I got
zip it
for a second.
Oh, zip it.
Who did he draft again? Who did he draft again?
I'm too old to get trolled by you. Hey, guys, did you see, speaking of Danny Ainge, did you see what he said about Missoula today?
So, I did not.
I don't, and maybe you can look it up during the break. I'll paraphrase. He was asked about Missoula retaining his job. And he said, man to man, everybody in that organization knows Missoula is a better coach than Udoka. So I don't,
it's what he said.
What did he say? Sorry.
I don't think there's anybody there that doesn't believe that Joe is better than Ime as a coach.
I thought that was wild. I thought that was interesting because Ime has come out of this looking like, again, he's Chuck Daly and Missoula got crushed. But Ainge said, no. The perception is Missoula greater than Ime. Samich next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.